interviewing Harold Albert in his home on 1117 Algarita Drive, and this is December the 20th, 1988. Harold, when did you join scouting?
Well, I was in the second troop. They had number one, and I joined number two, and it must have been about, it had to be somewhere around 1915 or 16, somewhere in there.
Well, you were in the...
No, no, it was a little later than that.
Well,
yes,
was it when they had the Boy Scout band?
That's when the band.
All right, that would have been about 1921.
Is that all right?
Yes. You were there when... Armistead Russ was a member?
Armistead was a member. In fact, we, when I joined, we had their scout meetings, the first meeting, in the Rust home. And I do remember that Mrs. Rust always gave us the hot chocolate and Armistead and Foster's sister would help.
So where was their home then?
Their home was up in North Angelo, out there around where Gilly Pfluger and the Pflugers lived.
The scout troop then, wasn't Reverend Garrett involved?
Yes.
As scoutmaster of that troop, or at one of the troops?
One of the troops.
I think he was scoutmaster of Troop 1.
One.
And who was your scoutmaster? Do you remember?
Well, we had at least two, but the main one was Mr. Gene Knielsen.
How do you spell that?
I don't know.
You don't know how to spell it. And y'all met in the Russ home? Or
no,
where
no,
did y'all
no,
meet?
Not then. This, Gene would come up. Most of the time we'd meet there. Then after we got on up a year, then we started meeting at a home in, over on West Bishop.
You know whose home that was?
No,
that was one
I
of the members' homes?
I don't remember.
How long did that troop last?
Well, we stayed in there until we got kind of, tired. You know, you couldn't get a good someone to take care of you and be a good scoutmaster. So we kind of, at least 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And then we... kind of drifted off, and then they decided that they'd have the band, so we kind of got back together and had the band. That's...
So I'll be darned, that is the Boy Scout band.
That's the picture of the Boy Scout band, and that's marching from the Orient Railroad. That's the old Orient Railroad.
KCM&O.
And we'd march to through town.
All right, and this is what street? This is Beauregard or Urban?
That's Chadburn.
That's Chadburn, marching up Chadburn, and you're marching north in this picture?
Marching
toward town from the Orient River.
And right across the street from that now is Western Air Conditioning. And then on... So that's quite a...
Well, I have here some stories.
Armistead was in that.
Was in the band.
It was in the band.
Okay. Tell me about scouting then. What did y'all do as scouts?
Well, I tell you, we were not...
as organized as they were.
Not as organized. And the main thing, what all we were doing, we thought mostly of, is just going out and camping weekends and things like that. And that was the main thing.
All right, this starts the stories about the band. This was listed some members, and I've got them listed elsewhere. Here's the members that I had listed in the band.
Yeah, Mr. Hartman was the director.
Who was Mr. Hartman?
Well, no, he was just...
Was he a school teacher?
No,
he
was a music teacher.
He was a teacher here in San Angelo.
In San Angelo, and he's the one that taught me. I played alto, and Reese played the bass horn.
And they, as I understand it, these kids had never played an instrument before except for one or two of them.
One or two of them. That's right. And we went down and we would practice, and he would take a few at a time, and he worked that up, and he was done.
And he later became the band director of the DeMolay band and was
at first.
It. When it first started.
First started then, Harold Broom took over.
And he was the band director then up until 38 or whatever.
Wherever
the band went. Well, there's several stories on the band that I've been able to find.
Yeah, there's Reese Albert, yeah.
And then they played it. The first time they ever played was a Kiwanis Ladies Night. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they said the band sounded good, but y'all probably weren't all that great.
That good. But then the city fathers and the businessmen carried us over to Brownwood, and we ended up doing one of the big meetings. The old gray mare, back in those days, and we spent one or two nights there in our on our train, and we played. We won our
division. Well, I'll be doing. I have a story in here where y'all went down to Sonora and played. Do you remember doing that?
Oh yes. And then Sonora, we played for the rodeo.
Yes, and spent several days down
there.
Yes,
that's right.
We
stayed in the jurors' room up in the courthouse.
This may be it right here. No, that's courthouse lawn where y'all.
Oh, we
there.
Used to play a lot there.
And then,
Mr. Harton, of course, was. Did you get his band?
Yeah, their home there. I think they went to Sonora, didn't they?
Yep, that's right. We sure did. And had a big time.
Well, tell me about the band. It lasted how long that you can remember? 2 years, 3 years?
Oh, I'd say, yeah, we were about 3 years. And then we got older. And then the most of us went in and joined DeMolay's.
Yeah, they said the DeMolay band was made basically
from
the Boy Scout
from
band.
From the Boy Scout.
Because they were older.
Yeah, that's right. And we did have, back of my mind, we did have a little static with our band and marching due to, we were soldiers. They were training us to be soldiers. And
people
I think the scouts probably didn't, the whole scouting back in those days probably.
I understand that the earlier camps were more like Army camps, summer camps,
definitely,
than they were like scout camps as we know
them
today.
As you know. Yeah, I'm not too much up on scouting after 35. I had to.
Well, that's good, because this is the era that I want to talk about. Reverend Garrett took a lot of the boys down to Christova to the Baptist encampment for a summer camp in, I believe it was 1925. I mean, excuse me, 1923.
About 23.
Do you remember going down to that camp? Did you go to any of the summer camps they had before Mr. Bodge took over?
I don't recall. No, I did not. I did not make that camp.
When they organized scouting in 1926 here under Bryce Draper, did you get back active in
definitely,
scouting?
Definitely, because he picked up a group of us that wanted to... that new scouting, and he carried us to Christova, and we went in and he told us what we were supposed to do and so forth.
And that was the first scout camp. That was Camp Geronimo 1.
Well, Geronimo 1
was down there. Was this a junior leader training course that you went
well,
to
that,
prior to that?
That's what junior leader, that's right.
Okay.
And we were all supposed to come in and help. And on that first camp, on Troop 7, was our scoutmaster, he and I, since I was about 5 years older than the rest of those boys, like Luther Coulter and Sam Schubert and a group like that. And he and I had the tent together, and we had heavy rain, and our tent got flooded out a little, and he never did make one. And I made, I had all the rest of the camps for about the three or four camps. After that, I took group set.
And then you went to Geronimo 1. Did you go to Geronimo 2 at the end of that summer? Do you remember?
Yes.
And there was a very small group that went down there for that second camp.
Then
that was in September, just before school started.
Then we had...
Then you had Camp Pioneer, which is at Seven Mile Bridge.
Seven Mile Bridge.
And then you went over to Camp Kickapoo near Menard.
Yeah.
And then you went up to Camp Conley for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you went over to Lewis Farr from there.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about the camps in those days? What they did, what they looked like, some of the people?
Well, we all, mostly each troop had their own tent. We had the large tents, not the little pup tents.
About how many were in a tent?
Oh, it would be about eight.
Eight to
just
a tent.
Crowded, just, and when
you slept on metal beds or wooden cots?
No, wooden cot, army cots.
Army cots.
That's all, everybody had those. And on Troop 7, now what I, and some of the others didn't, but I'd have the boys out in a circle like this, and then my RR, the scoutmaster's
tent
would be single, and it's the umbrella type, where you get two cots in it. And then every morning, I'll tell you, those on every camp, you would run. You'd get up, you'd go and you'd run to, or trot, not run, just trot to your meal. And then down at Cristobal, you had, the meals were in a
tent or a shed.
Wooden. And then you'd have to cross that old swinging bridge. And then at camp, Pioneer was
7 Mile
Bridge. That was a good one. And another thing, I went out with Bryce Draper, and he and I, most of the time, just the two of us, and we would pick the site because it meant a lot about high water and swimming. And we'd have, didn't want real deep pool, but you
right.
wanted, but anyway, then the boys, and each camp, we'd have like Pioneer had built diving boards, and then trained the boys. We're all trained for if anyone happened to drown, well, they'd
for life
buddy stuff, yeah, work it out. And then they got back more to buddy system. And
tell me about the dining halls that they had. I've got the impression that every camp they went to, they had to build a place to eat under.
Yeah.
Were
that's
these
right.
just made of posts?
Posts, and a lot of times just big canvas tarps.
Over the tent.
That's right. And all the cooking utensils, they were Army field ovens and Army equipment.
From World War I, I would assume.
Yes, right. But we bought them from, most of them came from down here at the San Antonio, the Army supply place, you know, where...
Right, they sold surplus equipment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever... how we got started, the first group?
No, would you? I'd like to know that.
All right. The city was real interested in the fire department, and the fire department, a group of men bought an old Model T truck and a chassis for a car, and then the firemen built a traveling kitchen.
This is the trailer,
and now we were getting ready to organize out of town and go all the way around in West Texas and organize the Boy Scouts.
They call it the Exhibition Troop.
Exhibition Troop. So I then they had to buy another truck, and we had this one truck would pull the kitchen and the trailer there, and then carry all the cots and the tents And then we had another truck there all rigged up with benches and carried the boys. And I drove, I went as assistant scoutmaster. Bryce Draper was scoutmaster on this group. I was the assistant scoutmaster. Reese was the cook. And we'd come in like we get over here to Brady. They'd have a place. We'd set up a absolutely wonderful camp. People would meander around and visit, and then at night, at all these towns, we would have a few minutes or about 30 minutes of showing scouting, what scoutings could do at the theaters.
So this is what I was reading, that all these, the demonstration was done at the theaters.
At the theaters, and we had some of those boys could just tie every knot, they could do signal, they were just tops.
J.T. Henderson was demonstrating some of those
yes.
knots at a troop meeting last Monday night.
Well, now he was all alone in some of that too, and but we made one round on down around Brady, and then cut through into Menard, and I believe we went to Junction that
right,
time.
And over to Sonora.
Sonora, and then we came back.
Do you
then we made another trip to Fort Stockton.
Do you remember when you went from Junction to Sonora, y'all ran upon a car that had gone off the road and had turned over
yeah.
and was burning, and y'all put the fire out and straightened the vehicle
big
up
heckle.
Or gave first aid to the lady that was there? Do you remember that?
Yep. And it another thing that was really that the boys going on that Brady trip, when we was cutting across, well, Bryce Draper had a Buick, fairly new Buick. And Reese would always ride with him. And then we'd got down in a steep hill and didn't have good brakes, so these boys would get out and they would put logs under the car, and we'd bump over those, and we worked our way down, and Bryce came up and hooked on to the vehicles and pulled us up on the other side.
So the roads weren't real good in those days,
no.
were they? What did they look like?
Well, for instance, this trip we went to Fort Stockton. We came in, we hit that high, steep hill that you drop off of that divide from Ozona, and we burnt. We didn't turn over for some reason, but trying to take it easy on those Fords, we burned the reverse out and the clutch out, just trying to keep it, and we had to be kind of, one of them had to be pulled on into that little town.
Kamey or?
No, it's just east of there.
Imperial, let's see, Iran, Crane.
Go, just east, just south of Crane. It's right on, but anyway. And
yeah.
then they were just building those roads out there. And I tell you, the dirt was was about 6 inches of silt. You know, just drop
just
and
powder.
Powder. And Jerry Niblin usually drove the truck for the boys, carrying them. And we had staves, you know, over and canvas. Well, he hit, it was still, believe it or not, if there was still gates and
cattle guards,
and he missed the cattle guard and hit that, and everybody went that way and just ripped down. Nobody was seriously hurt, though.
It said here that a young flood caused the scouts to move camp when you were in Fort Stockton. It says, leaving Ozona early Friday morning, we left for the distant city of Fort Stockton, which is 118 miles. After riding all morning, we arrived at Sheffield.
That's the town,
that's
Sheffield.
That's the town y'all had to
Sheffield,
bring
where we had to have a little brake job. And then we, from Sheffield on into, and they were having the barbecue. Just the same thing there about the barbecue.
Yes, they had. They gave... let's see, there was a crowd present and a big barbecue waited.
Yep.
They asked us to give our demonstration. We gave it just before the roping. They were having some sort of roping.
Big roping and a barbecue. And I do know of one, Mr. Cannon, that gave the scouts, Bryce Draper, a good sum of money to help fund the scouts.
J.T. Henderson said y'all had a lot of flats.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
He said something like 26 flats when y'all went out to Fort Stockton.
Oh, we had all kinds of flats on that.
He said that at Fort Stockton, y'all pitched camp in a grassy spot, which was rather low near the swimming pool. Just then, we heard the fire siren. All the scouts started for the fire. After giving a lot of valuable assistance to the firemen, we returned to camp. After sleeping in a hard rain all night, we woke up to find the channel a few feet away on a rise.
That's right.
In about 10 minutes, it started covering our camping grounds. We broke camp in nothing flat and pitched tent on a nearby hill. In a few minutes, our camping ground was a river. You remember that?
Definitely. And we had the hardest thing was to get the kitchen out. You know, that four-wheel wasn't
right.
Even hooked up to it, and finally got it, and we just got across a little bridge just in time and went right up on top of the hill right there overlooking the springs. That was a park.
Right. I've seen that park
down
there.
And we...
Did they have the swimming pool at that time? Or
it was a large swimming pool. It was just open.
It was just an open area.
Yeah, and the boys played... would swim there, and it was really nice. And but one of the things that we really helped out is when putting out that fire, because that was a bucket brigade.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And y'all went out and helped with the buckets.
Yeah, that was the lumber yard caught a fire, and they got in there and really, really worked.
There were about 24 of you that went
on
the trip.
Yeah, something like that. I think about.
They didn't have an exhibition troop the next couple of years. The next time I found a story about an exhibition troop was in 1930. They got a group of about 18 kids together and went around
and went around.
Demonstration. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I wasn't with them then, but I kept into scouting, and I didn't get my Eagle Scout until 1930.
Until 1930.
30. And then, actually, in 29, I went to work on with the utility engineers on Lake Nasworthy. I was concreting. They put me on. I was concrete inspector. And from then on, and then I would help with scouting because I was in and out of San Angelo on doing a little work. But it's.
What did you remember most about the summer camps? I want to go back to those. What impressed you about the camps? Oh, I'm sure they were basically all the same type of camps, but they had a Mr. Tate that came from Amarillo and brought two or three older scouts.
Mr. Who?
I believe his name was Tate, T-A-T-E.
No.
From Lubbock.
T-A-T-E. He was a wool buyer, cotton buyer.
Cotton buyer.
And he was the big one. Yeah, now that was when we were down at, Kickapoo on the San Saba.
Right.
Yeah, he brought some of his top scouts down. And then on for instance, we'll take Kickapoo. In Kickapoo.
Do you know whose ranch that was on?
No, I don't.
We're still trying to find where the camp was.
Well, I'll show you.
Oh, you know where
it
was?
I know exactly where it is. But I don't recall what the camp. But anyway, we had that camp, and Brownwood had just gotten them executive. So he came over and worked with us, and he was an engineer, and he built. He took the boys, a certain group of them, and they built a bridge across the creek and with logs to cut the trees down. They logged, they tied it, and all. And then, that same, when they had their camp, Camp Gibson, I believe it is.
Camp Gibson.
Well, Bryce Draper's assistant, and I went over there and helped with them.
Was that Mike Masters?
No, that wasn't McMaster's. That was another one. And here I am. I was giving some swimming, and that was an Indian put that hood over me.
That face mask?
Yeah.
It looked like a Chiquita doll face mask. Well, I'll be darned. When this was down at Camp Gibson.
Yeah, but Camp Gibson. And we stayed down there until all through the camp, and then we came back.
Go ahead, honey.
Another thing that we had in Troop 6. Now, Gilly was in Troop 6. They won. Trip to the 700 Springs at Junction on South Llano. Well, about that time before they, Bryce Draper had to go to New York to a school, and then the boys, he just looked like was going to just drop it. Well, the assistant decided, and I think Mr. Schuber and a few of them decided they better go on and take those boys. So the two of us started out, and we hooked up the kitchen and started out, and we had trouble down the way, and we had to leave the kitchen on the side of the road, pulled it off, and went on into Junction without it, and then we had to come back out and get a lot of the cooking utensils. But we had a very good camp, but we shouldn't have ever left, as far as that goes.
Well, I heard about that camp, and we couldn't decide whether it was a summer camp or what.
No.
Well, at one time they were going to have a camp at Junction.
That's right.
And they changed their mind and had it up at Camp Connolly instead.
Yeah.
They were going to have it there that summer, and then decided, well, this, I guess Camp Connolly was closer or something.
Much, much closer and better.
Tell me about Camp Connolly. Where is it located?
Well, our camp...
If you were going to go to it today, you can go out toward Carlsbad.
You go to Carlsbad, and then you take the only bridge, really the good bridge,
across
the Concho, and it was just downstream from that bridge.
It's on the left, then, it's after you cross the bridge.
On the left, yeah, on the left. No, before you crossed, we were down, and we were subject to being flooded out on that one. We were very fortunate.
Well, y'all were there for two different summers.
Yeah, and it looked like we were up at one time above, too, one camp above.
So y'all camped all
but
up in there.
When these pictures here were made of the Fowlers and all that, that was at the girls, and that's when we had, to the left.
They were about a mile away from the boys. They were camped about a mile away
from
the boys.
Well, and so now that was they hired. We had the Brownwood Council at their camp. Gibson, they had an ex-Army cook, and he really did cook. But then we got on up there in the first camp that we used him, Connolly. Well, he was a little too expensive, I'll tell you. He'd cook, and he was too much Army, and he wanted all the scoutmasters and so forth to eat at one table.
Just like the officers did.
Officers did, and all of that, and that didn't go over, so we never didn't get him back the next time.
I noticed they used a second cook, different cook the
different
second
cook
summer.
Because you know yourself, you've been in camps that you can spend way too much money on food.
Tell me about the Scout Village. How did it come about? What made them feel that they needed it? They used to have a Scout hut somewhere.
Well,
Teague Park.
You'd have to know Bryce Draper.
Okay.
Now he organized that. He could look ahead, and he could see that. Let me get this out of your way, and you can stretch out.
Oh,
there.
Thank you.
And he's the one that started it, and so he goes down and he gets all the Union boys, the Rock, the Masonry, and
carpenters,
electricians,
and plumbers,
all of
them.
And then he talks to a lumberman here, and they get up some money, and they buy all of the logs. They were split, you know, and came from...
Were these actual half logs?
Oh, well, they were not half. They were split. They were just about that thick. But
about
they had
2 inches thick.
About 2 inches thick, and they had, of course, your... And so he gets those.
Now, when they came in...
And then when they came in by on train, well, Reese and George Bond and myself unloaded those and used the scout trucks and brought them over and put them in our folks' backyard because they had a large place there
where
on North 305 North Main. And that's where I was born, and that's where...
What's there today?
Today, there is a garage. They sold out, my folks and the Gerbers sold out to Gulf Oil Company, and they put a station there, and it didn't work out. See, that's on that was the main U.S. 67 went right by there.
Oh.
That's where that was. Now, right across over there is your Winn-Dixie now.
But it was right in that
area. Yeah, and the Coulters.
So y'all stored the logs over
here.
We
stored the logs. And then they were going to do that. They had enough men that they were going to build those things right in about 2 days, especially the Labor Day. That's when it started. And they went to work. And we had all the material. Everything was there for them. And each building was nice and had for each patrol, and then there was one room for the assistant scoutmaster and the scoutmaster
So there were five rooms, four patrol
that's
rooms
right.
and a five room.
Yeah.
How big was the meeting room approximately? Was it about the size of this living room or?
Just no larger.
No larger. And this
just
room
about
is
this
what,
is
about
20
feet long and
it's good 20 22 and about 13, I think, yeah.
And they had an 8-foot porch on them.
Yep, 8-foot porch.
They had wooden floors.
Yep.
Did they have restrooms in them or not?
No.
All right, they had a
central
shower unit.
Yeah.
Where was that located? Do you
now
know?
Now, that's where I don't know, and I think that's what might be one of those buildings.
Was it? They had two things. They had a kitchen that they talked about.
Yeah.
And they also had a shower facility, restroom and shower facility. And nobody seems to know where they were. Do you remember where they were, between certain troop cabins or between next to Draper's house? Or
it looks like it was right up over in there, and I just wondered if...
This map, there was... Here was Troop 1, Troop 2, 3, and 4, and you said the field was right here between Troop 6 and Troop 4's cabin.
Now, where's Troop 7?
All right, Troop 7's down here.
That's what I thought, yeah.
All right, now, they had this building, and they had this building. This building looked like the patrol rooms were not built onto it. It had a porch, according to the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was the commissary building.
I think that's probably about what it was.
It was next to between Draper's house and Troop 1's
house. Troop 1, well, that's where it seems like to me, right in there.
All right, and then there was some storage building or tool shed behind it. And then I don't know what this was. Gilly seems to think this may have been the shower building.
That could have been very easy.
It was between Troop 1 and Troop 2.
Now, I never did use it but a lot of the boys would come down and they run and they...
Would take a shower.
Take a shower, yeah. That's
all right. Now, tell me about the swimming area.
All right, the swimming area was right downstream and...
Where was it in relationship to the swinging bridge?
Well, we built the swinging bridge. It was right at it.
Right. Swinging bridge was about right here.
Right here, and then right there where that concrete, where we poured that rough concrete and had the springing boards. And the springing boards, I made started those out, and they had to keep them up. But you'd put two by 12s, see, and one would be longer than the other under it, and they'd give them a little spring, and they'd break them.
Oh, well, they said they talked about two towers. One of them was 12 feet high, and the other one was 14 feet high.
Well, that's for the bridge.
All right, that's what the towers
That's
were
what
for.
The towers for the bridge. And I don't recall who they built those. And
JT seems to think that they had some dressing rooms on the other side, on the south side of the river. You don't remember ever. Gilly said that was all sort of just jungle over there.
It was. And that bridge served a good purpose for a lot of people that was in there. They used it to go back and cross. And especially Mr. Jordan, the banker at the First National Bank, he used it all the time. It was, instead of walking way down to the
Chadburn Bridge.
Yeah, and going on up, but he'd come right across from his house and walk right on and go
up to his bank.
Yeah.
They had described the grounds of the Scout Village. Now, they had the buildings. And they brought in the dirt from the basement of the Hilton Hotel,
yeah.
And they made the track.
That's right. And the go ahead.
Was there anything else there besides
no.
the running track?
The running track, and then it sloped off to the river.
Well, they talked about having basketball courts and tennis courts and baseball diamonds and all that stuff. Was that actually
I don't
ever
think
built?
It ever got all that built. They had a lot of recreation, but... Now,
that was built in 1928.
In 28.
In the summer 28, and they dedicated it on Labor Day. They had a big.
That's right.
They were
going to
dedicate
it
in July, and it rained, and they postponed it a day, and it rained, and they finally just postponed it till Labor Day.
Day.
And had a parade, and had three motion pictures, camera crews that took pictures of it.
Well, where are all those? I want.
Good question. JT remembers seeing the pictures in the theater here after the thing, but nobody seems to know where the motion pictures went to.
Well, I don't recall that.
Yeah, but do you recall the celebration when they dedicated the buildings?
Yeah.
Can you tell me something of what you remember?
Well,
about
I don't remember too much about it, but we
the Demolay band played.
The played,
I know that,
yeah.
And they raised the flag.
Flags
and
all that, and. But back in those days, I was working. Now, that was one thing about why I worked so much with the Scouts. My father, I'd worked at the ice plant. And then he would always, if it was scouting or bands, well, I'd always could get off.
Wasn't the ice plant near the Scout Village?
No. It was way up on North
Main.
On 3rd Street, you go north Main, and then it's on 3rd, right off of 3rd. And,
how did you get around in those days? Did you have a car, or a bicycle, or walk, or
no, we walked, and you know what, we'd used a lot of time skates as much as we could to go from our house on 305 North Main to Bishop, and we'd have to skate across the bridge over on North Concho Bridge on Beauregard, and Reese and I both used those some, and we used bicycles, and I was so located that I could walk to all my schools, to the Ward School and junior high. The junior high was right there where Shannon's new building is,
right.
And then, but something that was, we would, Reese and I would, when he was with me, a lot of times I was by myself, would go up to the Boy Scout meeting and come back, and right across from the high school, there was your cemetery. And I would leave some of the boys right there in front of the high school, and I'd have to run. I'd run all the way through that darn cemetery. And it was really a little, I certainly remember that.
They had a kite contest back in those days in the spring that Neil Sanders ran a couple of them.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about those kite contests?
Well, I don't know much about those, but you know, I was the... Neil was the Scout. scoutmaster of Troop 7 at one
right.
time, and I was his assistant.
Assistant.
Yeah. And if I wasn't his assistant, I was wasn't somebody's assistant. I was just an older scout. And
you remember him making a big, what he calls a signal kite, a big box kite.
Yeah, though they made
white.
All kinds.
Well, he still has that kite.
My God.
He's going to have it up at our council banquet in February. He's going to bring it up. And he has a 7-foot archery bow that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had what they call the Boy Scout Archery Club.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't remember a whole lot about it, but he does have one of the bows that he made
that
for
he
him. And he said that all the kids that went to camp in those days had to bring their own bows and arrows with them.
They did.
The camp didn't have them.
And, in fact, we not too many of them out at Lewis Park. See, I think after you got over here on the San Saba River is when...
they finally started buying stuff like
stuff
that?
Like that, yeah.
What do you most remember about scouting? What impressions, when you think of scouting, what are the things that really sort of come out at you as a young boy and a young man that was in scouting that impressed you the most?
Of
all the things y'all did, or the comradeship, or the hikes. You seem like y'all went on hikes forever.
We went hikes, and it was just being together and having some good scoutmasters that would teach. Now, when one of the trips, I don't know if anyone have told you, that we took off in Mr. Taylor. Was our scout master at that time, and we carried met all over here at the west part of Beauregard Bridge, and we headed out and we walked. See, there wasn't too many homes over in that, and we walked all the way over to the Twin Mountains and got on the one that's just to the north. That's one that Reese Albert has getting all that rock on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We walked across that and then back down and got up on another, and then everybody ran out of water. And then somebody, we could see a pond over there, and we finally had to have it. And then from there, we went all the way to a 7-mile bridge and back home. And it was dark when we got in.
I noticed in those days that it was nothing uncommon to go on a hike in the evening and get back home about midnight.
That's right.
Why was that? Because people worked or what? But it was very common
know.
In those days.
It was. It was that way. And leave out on a riding your bicycle, getting a merit badge or something, that they'd start out here and ride to about 5 miles on the other side of Christoval and back. And
On a dirt road,
and they tear your... Everything happened to a bicycle back in those days. Really was hard.
Because you're always hitting rocks and
yeah,
chug holes
and all. It was bad. It was. But it's just been with them, and you know, we learned. We picked up a lot of these scoutmasters were good fellas, and they just would, I don't know, well, I picked up a lot of good ideas and thoughts from them.
I want you to tell me about Bryce Draper and Elizabeth Fowler, what you know about both of them, because you've known them for a long, long time.
Well, now I met Bryce Draper when he first came in, and like we were talking back, that he got the older scout group together.
The Zokers.
Yeah, Zokers. And then for some reason, like I was telling you, that I had time to help, that a lot of fellas that age did not have time. They were working or they to help. And I helped a lot with them in scouting. And their first office was up over Squid Point. That's right down, that was the first Boy Scout office. Had you known that?
Did
you know that?
No, I did not know that.
And, well, it was right across the street from, at that time, from First National Bank. And Squid Hoyt was menswear. And then later on.
Was that Clyde Hoyt's father?
Yeah.
And Mr. Hoyt was active on the board in
Chattanooga.
That's
right. Oh, yeah. And then we went on to,
they had a meeting place, or they had an office in the courthouse at one time when they built the new courthouse.
I thought that was the Zolkas.
Well, the Zolkas were on the second floor, and I think the scout office was on the
third floor. Well, but then they moved over to the main ones I remember is over at City Hall.
City Hall.
Yeah. And he had a room there, and with a large room. The secretary, she had a room. And then Bryce Draper had met Viv in school, and she was in one of the directors in a camp down around Kerrville. And and the first time I met her was a group of us, about six or seven of them, including Sam Schuber and Ford Bulaware, and the group we headed out and was going. We went through San Antonio, and she came in and up, and she and Reese, first time I met her, she was in that little kitchenette we were staying, and she and Reese were fixing lunch for the five, about seven or eight of us. And then he talked to her into, and some fellas to start the campfire, and ladies up here to start the campfire. So she moved up here, and she had one room, and he had the other right there at City Hall. And he'd try to tell her how to run this, and she wouldn't do it, and then she'd try to tell him to kind of butt out. And anyway, then they married. And
about 1929, somewhere around 28, 29.
And then she would, then they married, and when they left here, about 36, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Probably right after the flood, somewhere.
Right in there, because then he went to
Dallas, I believe.
Dallas. They wanted him up there, and he set up. Now, he was one that set up this new system of which I had never heard of before. Is every month certain you pay in. A lot of people.
A sustaining membership enrollment.
Yeah.
Where they paid monthly a certain.
And this went over so good that was one thing that the boys wanted them to up there at Dallas. He went up there, and then he went to San Antonio, and then.
Was he an insurance salesman then? Did he get out of professional scouting?
In San Antonio. That's right.
And he was an insurance salesman or something.
Well, he had insurance.
Somebody said he repaired car bodies when he was here in San Angelo, did he? Do you remember that?
Well, he had a loan company.
Here in San Angelo?
Here in San Angelo, and he had, now he didn't, and he had a company that loaned money on cars. And then these boys and Reese worked in the body works. You know, they
for Draper.
For Draper.
And Draper had a body repair shop.
Had that all of that company, and then they take all the cars and would repair them, and then sell them. And repossess. Boy, back in those days, it was a lot of repossessing. I know.
That was during the Depression.
During the Depression, it was real.
So he did more than just be a Boy Scout executive.
Oh yeah, along there, yeah, and he. I think he went in with something else with one of the businessmen here. But that
now, he and Sam Schuber tried to start a private camp. And they went down to Mears Ranch down there by.
Well, now that's the. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember that or anything about
it? Now, Reese cooked for that.
Oh, he did. It didn't last but one summer.
One summer. Now, he was trying. And so there was.
They were going to start a private camp.
Okay, Ford Bulaware was on it, and
Sam Schuber
Sam
said
Schuber,
he went down there and stayed about
there.
A month.
Yeah, and
he said there were about six that were down there.
About six, and that was the. And so they were going to San Antonio. We were going to make a trip, so we Luther Colter was on it, and Dwight Hunter was another, and he's a cousin to Ford Boulevard. And the Boulevards, I had a Model T car with no top on it, and they wanted me to go with them, so I left the ice plant and went on down, and we took out from there and went to San Antonio, and that's where Bill Draper. Then from there, we went on over to Austin, and then the Fowlers, Ms. Fowler's brother had a big boat, and he owned some land up the river, so we got in there and went up and camped a couple of nights up there, and then came back to Austin, and somebody got hurt. I have bad infection in the eye, so Reese and Dry Price came on in home with, I believe it was Luther Colter, and left me there to bring all those boys in, and we got in about 2 o'clock in the morning from or daylight, I believe.
Do you remember when that was, about what year?
Well, it was the same year that they had the camp.
Had that private camp down
there. The private camp, yeah. That was their, that was one of their, when they paid their money in for the fathers.
For that private camp.
Private camp, well, that was in the making.
So the trip was part of the,
part of
the private camp, or was it separate from it?
No, it
was,
they didn't pay, that was all included.
And they stayed all summer, or just stayed a month?
No, they stayed, they didn't stay but a month.
There wasn't very many went down there,
uh-uh.
Was there?
And but they that guy could Bryce could he could play most any
musical
and he was just darn good.
I understand that every scout camp had a band in those days. They'd get together and
yeah,
they could
play. Yeah, that's right.
Play.
And but it was now like I can't compare that with your modern because
you hadn't seen the modern.
I haven't been on them. And
they basically do the same thing. They work on merit badges and they go swimming and learn life saving.
That's exactly what it was.
Eating in the mess hall. And the things that have changed, though, is that we teach riflemanship, which they didn't have then.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a trading post. And I don't think they had trading posts at Kansas in those days where we sold drinks and things of that nature. But as far as the pioneering and the nature and the swimming, life saving, and canoeing, where in the world did all the blooming canoes come from? They had 50 canoes at these camps.
Well, they had a lot of them.
Did everybody own a canoe in those days?
Yeah, I owned one. And a lot of them were homemade, see? A lot of them were homemade, and they wanted to get some from the University of Texas. But they wouldn't let them come up here, the old town canoes. They had a lot of them that were just rotting out.
But they had they'd have anywhere between 45 and 50 canoes at these camps.
And they had very strict rules on them, too.
About who could use them and...
Well, yeah, and how. You just, something that didn't know how to get out there and paddle couldn't use them.
How about the campfires they had at night? It seemed like
every
night was a different
Very theme. Good. Very good. All he had. A lot of the scoutmasters could bring it on. And they would have some of the best dying. That's impressive, isn't it?
They did a lot of Indian lore too. Looking for a lot of Indian head. 7 Mile Bridge, which is now where that 4-lane bridge goes across Lake Nazareth,
right.
The long one. They talked about hunting and finding arrowheads and bullets and things of that nature. What was that area that there were so many bullets and arrowheads? Right.
Well, now that was the crossing from San Angelo to Knickerbocker. See, that was a horse and buggy and wagon and old car. That's what that bridge was built for, is to get back and forth over there.
Over to Knickerbocker.
Knickerbocker. And a lot of people don't realize Knickerbocker was quite a little town.
Community,
yeah. But, I was out at Knickerbocker in 1914, and you could buy all any kind of clothes you wanted. They had hardware stores, clothing.
Bank?
I never did see a bank there.
Never did see a bank there. Had a schoolhouse.
Had a schoolhouse. And
when were you born? If I may be
so All right. I was born March the 22nd in 1908.
1908.
That's right. and I just got my schooling. I haven't been above high school. Just got my schooling here in the city school.
So when you got in scouting, then you would have been about 13 years old. 12.
Oh, I'd been because might have been a little older because Reese is a little younger and I joined first and then he came in. He wasn't quite old enough then. And then,
I noticed you had some pictures there.
You have that, and I'm good.
I have the band picture here.
All right, now here's another one I want you to take. Now, this boy right here.
L.B. Harton,
and then Fred Niblin. This is Fred Niblin, Jake Wardlow, and this was for his getting his award.
Who is this?
This is Willard Crotty.
Willard Crotty. By the way, he just passed away about 6 weeks ago in Dallas.
He did?
Yes. Dwight Hunter, I talked to him on the phone.
Phone.
He said he just passed away.
Well, I'll be darned.
But that's Willard Crotty.
That's Willard
Crotty. Now, he was got more merit badges than any other kid in his day. Who was the man on the right here, or the boy on the right?
All right, now.
Is that Don Decker?
Decker. You see here? Here he is again in 32.
Oh, now this is the group that went on the trip out to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that. In fact, I have
a video on that. I told Nina that you have all that.
I have a video on that.
Well, they wanted me to go, but I was up in North Texas, and they just bought me a Chevrolet Roadster, and I couldn't take off and go.
Which one is Jack Lewis in that picture? Do you know?
Yeah. Right here.
That's Jack Lewis. I understand he was quite a wild kid in his
day. Oh, back then. Now here's Bryce Draper, and then here's your Ed Keyes and a lawyer Brown. Might have been county attorney a city attorney. And then this is Decker, and this is Fred Niblin, and Chubb Harris. Saw him yesterday.
I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah, talk. And then this is the architect.
Doyle Maddox.
Yeah. And this is Nip Logan. He's retired from, he was president of a bank out here in West Texas. And I know him, but here's Willard.
Willard Crotty.
Here's Luther Coulter.
Okay.
You know anything about Luther? Luther is a boy that was raised right next to me.
I have met Luther and talked with him, and he had all the photographs, and he's had two fires in his home that destroyed
all
the pictures.
All of them. But he's a lawyer now down. Now this boy this is the boy from. Well, I know I can't think of him.
Play.
And now this one, this is Sam Schuber.
He's on the front row. Right.
Yeah. And this is one of the Barger boys. And this is, it's pretty, I want you to take that.
All right.
I think that just for the.
Is this an extra picture? I would like to have a copy of this.
Can you get a copy?
Yes,
I'd like to keep.
Yes,
now,
that's the only picture I found of the band.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, now, here I am, that little one right there.
Okay, that's you.
And that's Reese right there. Reese was weighed more than I did back there, and that's Reese.
And he's right next to you.
Right
in front of
you,
with
right,
the tuba.
Yeah.
Or the bass,
they
call
them?
They
call them bass horn. You get
horn.
The tuba when you got those circle around or something.
Right, they're back here in the back.
There's some, I can't, this boy here didn't have his, to get to know some of those, that's hard to,
right.
For me to get.
Long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
That was 88 and 23, that would have been about 65
years ago.
Well, I'll be there. Well, I appreciate that. I'll get a copy of this and get it back to you.
This is one of the Harris boys, and
you'll think of his name when I leave.
Yeah. This boy came from his father. He was out of in the scout
Altman?
No.
No, one of them took a motion picture of the trip. That's probably Edwin. Edwin Sawyer. Edwin.
Oh, wait a minute. Edwin Sawyer is right in here. That's one of them that I couldn't think of.
One of these?
Yeah. Seemed like Edward Sawyer.
One of them from Sonora took motion pictures,
picture.
And I've got it on a videotape now.
He probably did, right there.
Okay. Now, I'm also was told that there was a movie taken of Camp Connolly by somebody. I think it was the same guy, and they showed it to promote Camp Summer Camp the next year. They made several references to showing the movie of Summer Camp that one of the kids or adults had made. I hadn't found anybody that does, but I read about it in one of the articles that it occurred. Well, this has really been fascinating. You have more knowledge and memory than anybody I have met with so far.
So far, but
so feel honored that you.
Well, I could just go so far, but that's about all I probably know. But I don't think.